Hello and welcome to the Institute of Nutritional Endocrinology presentation, continuation of the protein section, and this particular one is on protein powders in clinical practice. And protein powders are very, very popular these days. You can go to any health food store and see a wide variety of protein powders that line the shelves, and they range it from different flavors to different types of protein in them. Some of them have added nutrients. Some of them are considered meal replacements. So there's a lot of them. And most people are aware of protein powders as a way for them to supplant their diet when they're scared about not getting enough protein, or when they have some periods where they're going through some gut healing and repair, or liver cleanse detoxing, or recovery from trauma, or any of a number of other reasons that we talked about before why people get insufficient in protein. So let's have a look. So before we begin, I want to make sure that you're aware that this presentation is not at all intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional. It's not intended as medical advice. It's just a sharing from what I've learned and experienced in my over two decades of clinical practice, working with lots of people and lots of studying and lots of postgraduate education. But it has nothing to do with me diagnosing or treating a particular disease. And if you're under the care of any doctors, just please make sure that you double check in and make sure that what we talk about and that what you want to do is consistent with what you're doing. So let's take a look at protein powders and compare and contrast with whole food proteins, right? You know, the thing that happens when you eat actual food. A lot of people are opposed to protein powders because it's, quote unquote, not real food. But the point is, there are times when you need to give these to people. There are times when a person would benefit. Number one, they're pre-digested and easy to absorb. So if somebody's in a weakened state, a state of poor digestive capacity, and you're working at fixing that, why not make it easier for the body to get the protein in? Another advantage is that they're easy to consume. You can throw them into a shaker bottle, a jar, a mason jar, carry that with you, add water, shake it up, and you have a meal, or almost. But that said, it's also easy to get too much. I've had people that are coming in and they're having 4 servings a day of protein powder, which is well over 100 grams, well, maybe not, close to 100 grams of protein, which can be too much. So it's easy to get too much. It's hard to get too much in the whole foods. The disadvantage is that the protein powders are missing the nutrients in whole foods. So, for example, if you're eating, you get the protein from, say, pea protein, which is very popular, you're not getting the rest of that food. Or hemp protein, for example. Hemp is a great source of omega-3 fats. But if you isolate out the protein, most of that fat gets isolated and left behind. So we're going to look at some ways and ingredients that are in a lot of the protein powders that you want to be aware of. Most of them are obvious. Some of them are not so obvious. Added sweeteners you don't need to put in your protein powder. If your client wants a sweet tasting beverage, it's a good idea for them to add their own, because typically the sweeteners that are added would be cane sugar, could be honey, it might be refined sugar, white sugar even. So you've got to be careful that you don't get the added sugars. We're going for protein. Some of them add non-fat milk solids. They'll say they're a whey protein base, but you look and really there's probably more non-fat milk solids than there is whey. So that's something to be careful about. A lot of them have soy, and a lot of folks are allergic to soy, and people make So soy is another ingredient to be aware of. If you've got an allergy, a person with an allergy, or you've got somebody you're working with who may have a problem with their thyroid, because sometimes soy can interfere, especially when it's just processed soy that goes into the protein powders versus, say, edamame or a fermented soy product. So beware of soy. It's in a lot of them. Beware of casein. And it may not say milk overtly on it, but it still may have casein. You've got to read between the lines. And casein is the protein that comes from milk. Whey, I mean, sometimes these protein powders are whey. And so if you're sensitive to whey, I don't do whey, so I would be really careful about reading that. A cold processed whey may actually be a beneficial type of fat that you could recommend your client instead. Non-sprouted grains. So some of them will say, wow, we have ground up rice flour or millet or whatever. Those things need to be cooked to break down and get rid of some of the anti-nutrients that are in there. And so it's just not a good idea to put non-sprouted grains in there. If you're going to put sprouted grains in there, put sprouted grains in there. They're much healthier. Added oils, that's very, very common. They'll say canola oil or sunflower oil or even partially hydrogenated some sort of oil. Very, very vital. All right, so you've learned about protein powders. You decide you have a client that could be benefiting from extra protein in an easy digest form, and you're going to go for it. Now, how do you choose, or how do you teach your client to choose between the poorer quality ones and the higher quality ones? Well, I'm going to share with you from my experience how to do that. First thing you have to decide is plant-based versus animal-based. On the plant-based, there's a lot of varieties of proteins out there. There's hemp, there's pea, there's rice. I've even seen cranberry, Brazil nut. There's a number of different protein powders out there. On the animal side, the ones I've seen are, number one, whey, which is the most popular. Whey or no whey. And then there's also actually beef protein powder, and there's egg protein powder, and there's gelatin, which is part of the animal. So there's a lot of different sources. So first decide the plant versus animal, and then decide what's the best one for that person in terms of how much they need and all that. Sprouted rice versus heated brown rice protein. So years ago, rice protein became popular, probably around 15 years ago. Rice protein became popular, a few brands on the market, most of them marketed through big supplement companies as detox powders or gut repair powders, etc. And now it's abundant, and those brown rice proteins are still there, but now they figured out a way to sprout the brown rice to make it even more digestible and the nutrients more bioavailable, and to keep it raw so it doesn't have to be cooked. So you've actually got that choice. I personally, for most people, would choose the sprouted brown rice versus the heated, but there are cases where maybe the person isn't going to handle it or digest it as well. You can look at hemp protein. Sometimes the hemp protein will cause digestive upset in some people. With the sprouted brown rice or the regular brown rice protein, sometimes it causes a rise in blood glucose, even though for the most part, most of the carbohydrates have been removed. So pea protein, I haven't seen lentil protein, although I've seen things that were like powdered lentil flour or sprouted lentils that have been powdered. So I guess that would be similar. I've seen quinoa and other grain proteins. And it's just a matter of finding the one that tastes best for the person, the one that sits best in their belly, that doesn't cause them to get all gas and bloaty. So you basically invite them to test them out. There's little foil packets that you can get that have the various protein powders in, rather than investing the $40 or $50 in a big container. So you get them to try it, see which one tastes the best. Because if you go by like which one has the most protein or which one might be the most nutritious, they may find the most nutritious, but it doesn't taste good to them. They're not going to take it, and they're not going to take it often. So find the one that not only sits well with them, but tastes best for them too. And you consider choosing the one that makes them feel the best. Like if they have a couple of them and they like the taste of the hemp, but the pea protein makes them feel really satiated longer, you can encourage them to make that choice, but they're not always going to make that choice. A lot of people are going to make the choice that works best for them in terms of their specific tastes, their palates. We let the tongue rule. Let's face it, a lot of us just let the tongue rule, and it's a hard habit to overcome. So what are the ways that you can teach your clients to consume protein powders? I mean, there's as many ways as you can think of there are foods, because you can add them to just about everything. So first of all, some people complain that they taste kind of yucky or they taste kind of plain. And you can always have them add some cool stuff to it. Have them add some raw cacao or vanilla or stevia or xylitol or any other flavorings, essential oils, flavor extracts. Those are really excellent. Sometimes people don't like the grittiness of the protein powders. They don't like the texture. But I found that if you add ice or some frozen berries and blend it up, it makes it creamier. So that's another way to do it. And you can also add a little bit of avocado or some sort of creamy nut butter or something. And that will help it to just have a better mouth feel. Many of the protein powders do come in individual convenience sizes. So I find those really useful for traveling. So I'll carry a few of those when I travel, as opposed to putting things in Ziploc bags and they may leak. But you can always put them in Ziploc bags. But do you want to have people go out and buy, you know, four different $50 containers of protein powder, right? They're not going to be happy. So get them to get those little individual size servings and see which ones they like the best. And then you tell them, once you find a brand you like, get some of those single serving packets to just take with you when you're on the run, or make up your own to go with the little Ziplocs and label it if you have multiple protein powders so you know which one it is. So these are the kind of things you can teach your clients to do. So the next set of slides is going to show you just some of the protein powders that I've used, that I've investigated, that I like, that are reputable, and a few that I haven't checked out yet, but that look pretty interesting. So this is the Sun Warrior line, and the Sun Warrior has the plain brown rice protein that's either just natural or they have vanilla or chocolate. But they also have something that's called the Warrior Blend. And the Warrior Blend either comes as natural or vanilla or chocolate as well. And I personally like the Warrior Blend. I like not as much how it tastes, because it does taste, I think it tastes pretty good. I like the natural, but it's the way I feel. It just is one that makes me feel better. So that's the one that I like. This is the Vega One, and it comes as a meal replacement shake. So in addition to the protein, it has a bunch of extra nutrients and herbs and probiotics and other things like that. That's a good choice. Health Force Nutritionals, they make one they call Warrior Food. They also have another name for it, but it's escaping me now, but they do have a line of different proteins. And the Warrior Food, again, comes in either plain or it comes in vanilla. And they also have one that's chocolate or chocolate extreme. So those are what that was. That's relatively new. And the Garden of Life has a set. They have the raw proteins. They have a chocolate one. And the first time I ever tasted the chocolate, when I was in the store in a Whole Foods, and a guy was doing these little shake things, and I never stop and drink those because there's usually junk in them. I said, what is that? He says, oh, it's the Garden of Life raw protein. It's the chocolate flavor. You want some? I said, well, what's in it? What are the ingredients? So he handed me the container, and I read it and went, oh, that looks pretty good. And what did you make it with? Is this made in water, or did you make it in juice? Because a lot of times they want to flavor them up and they make them in juice so they taste better. And he says, no, this is made with just the water. So I tasted it. I was like, whoa, that one's pretty good. So I bought some. And I bought it quite a number of times, but I also found that they have one called chai spice, vanilla chai spice. And I can only find that one at Whole Foods. So we tried to order it, and it's only sold through Whole Foods. So if you have a Whole Foods and you want to try it, it does come in the little containers. And then they, of course, have the plain. And those are their raw protein line from Garden of Life. They have a protein line that's not raw. Here's a bunch of different kinds of hemp proteins. The Living Harvest is the one that's organic. Most of them are from Canada. You've got Nutiva. There's another one from Manitoba Harvest, and that one comes in vanilla and chocolate. So again, you try them. You see what people like. You see what's available in their town, so they don't have to order them. You have to use a lot of different factors to determine which ones to use. This is one that I hadn't heard of. I haven't really used, but it's organic and it's a brown rice sprouted protein, and it's from Epic. So then there's another one from that I haven't tried yet. It's Inca Meal Sprouted Rice Protein. I think I've tasted their pea protein and wasn't wild about it, but I've never tried their sprouted rice protein. So there's another one, Boku. I've found it online at like Natural Health News or places like that, but I've never tried it. Again, it's a sprouted rice vegan protein. Another one, Swanson makes it. I know some people who've tried it and like it. Designs for Health. This is the only pea protein that I've tasted that I really enjoy, other than the blend from Sun Warrior. And they have one that's mint. It's got mint and stevia in it. So it's a pure pea, either plain or flavored. They have a vanilla flavor and unflavored, but they also have a mint one as well. And very tasty and very good high protein. And then this Juvo is a cool one because it's got a lot of greens in it. And that's the way I like to get people to go. So the Juvo is one that you could try. In addition, Health Force Nutritionals has some green ones. They have a line called Elite Green Protein. And those proteins are just greens, a variety of greens, lots of spirulina and chlorella and all. And they tend to have about 16 grams of protein per serving size. So that's another one to keep in mind. Green protein is a way to go. And if somebody's going to take the sprouted rice proteins or the pea proteins, always have them put a scoop or two of green powder in it, whatever they have, chlorella, spirulina. Those are things that can help enhance the nutritional value of the protein shake. Then there's other things, the Vega protein and meal replacement. These aren't quite as pure sometimes as the others. They'll have a little bit of sweetener added to them. So just have your people read the labels. These are all the ones they're going to see on the shelves. This I like a lot is greens plus chia, and they come in these really convenient little tube type containers. So you can get them, you can get an individual one, you can get a whole box of them once you like it. Very convenient for traveling, and then you get your greens and your chia together. It's very convenient. And you can take the chia and you can open it up and you can put it in water and let it soak and fluff up. So we've covered a lot in regards to the protein, and we've covered the biochemistry of it, the structure of the protein. We've covered where you find it in foods. Finally, we looked at the protein powders as a supplement, as an additional therapeutic food, if you would. And finally, how do you go deeper? You know, you want to really go deeper in terms of understanding protein. I would recommend that the textbook that I recommended for the class, Advanced Nutrition and Human Metabolism, Chapter 7, is got lots of in-depth information about proteins if you want to go further. And just about any good nutrition book would have that as well. So thanks for listening, and go out and share this information with your clients, and hope you find it really, really useful. Thank you.